Hello again.
Hi.
Good to see you. We had you in a few weeks ago talking film, but yeah. Now we're taking a bit of a backflip. And yes, while it's related a little bit to film, this is actually some of the architecture involved in some of the biggest animes that Japan has produced over the decades.
Mm.
Pretty exciting concept and idea. Where does this sort of fit into, you know, a presentation from Japan Foundation? How does it sort of reveal the culture of the country?
Yeah, so you're exactly right. It's definitely peeling back the surface layer of, you know, the huge pop cultural phenomena of anime.
Yeah.
So we've seen before, anime exhibitions are really great at getting fans to see original artworks and things like this. But we found this exhibition that's actually being curated by a German researcher of anime. And he took years, like almost a decade, to make these connections with distributors and artists and assemble all this content, because he was getting into such a specific area of research, which was looking at the architectural features of the fictional worlds of anime. So it's kind of an intersection of two seemingly discrete areas, but when combined, they offer a really interesting focus on interpreting the process of anime in a different way, as well as helping understand the worlds and the fictions and the realities that are presented in, you know, especially sci-fi, cyberpunk genre.
Yeah, well, I mean, anime and cross a lot of genres, of course, sci-fi being a huge one. But I mean, obviously, we've all seen the Ghibli movies as well. And if you look at the background of those, sometimes it's the imagery that creates the film in the background is
Absolutely.
What makes it. So definitely for more dystopian sort of futuristic sort of cyberpunk sci-fi anime, it's just important that scenery, the backdrop, and then has setting the scene for the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which particular films are sort of featured in this exhibition that you've got?
Well, the oldest one is a title called Pat Labor, the movie, and it's from 89. So it's a pioneering film. It set the standard for background quality in anime. So although, you know, there are probably better known anime titles, but Pat Labor was included because it really transformed the way in which the research, the process, everything that goes into the backgrounds of anime was developed. Through to Ghost in the Shell, everyone's fave.
Yeah.
The original, as well as the sequel from 2004, Innocence.
Mm-hmm.
And Metropolis, which is originally a manga written by Tezuka.
I didn't realize it was a manga, to be honest. I remember the Metropolis movie. Is that based on that manga?
Yeah. So not to be confused with the brilliant Fritz Lang film.
Oh, okay.
But yes. They're quite different. actually, no, there's a lot of similarity. But visually very different.
Yeah, sure. But all these films that the exhibition's based on, they're all quite futuristic, I guess, are they?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's quite interesting. I didn't realize it at first, and I'm not sure if it was the curator's intention, but all four films actually place a semi-androgynous robotic life form, AI, at the center of the film, and they all work within this kind of dystopian near future reality that Japan does really well. So the architectural scapes of the films do have quite a resonance between them, but they're also quite diverse and distinct. And it's something quite interesting to see in the presentations per film, the research that goes into making the film, because it's just such a surprising process for me.
Yeah. And you wouldn't think about how much work has gone into the backdrop or the background of the story. Like, is it created? How is it drawn? Like, is there sort of a talk about that in the exhibition, how things are drawn?
Absolutely. So the whole exhibition really, it goes into very detailed stages. So if you know anyone that's a drawing nut or into architectural drawing, it's so much information. So the first step is location scouting. So there's literally the photographs where the art director, Oguda-san, is one of the featured artists, where he's been in conversation with the director and has gone on location scouting trips to Shanghai, Hong Kong, in Tokyo as well. And then you see the original photo. Then you see the sketch that the next artist has prepared based on that photo. Then you see it come back to the art director for colouring. And then you see the final anime cell, which are those
the one just, single cell that represents one.
Yeah, and then they're laid and moved across each other, and you can see how the illusion of depth, because without a camera, the way depth is created is by moving, by sliding physical drawings. Yeah. So this is all of the content in the exhibition is made in the era of manual artistry. So now we have amazing digital technologies, and all of these, and the animation industry is digitized, and that means that things still look beautiful, but they're done slightly differently, of course, or very differently.
Oh, yeah. I mean, gone are the days where you'd have an animation or an animation team who'd be drawing cell after cell after cell, each part of it.
And boxes and boxes of things just to get, like, seconds of footage.
Yeah.
So this exhibition is kind of looking back at that phase period of manual labor behind animation and really breaking down how they achieve those things. And to think that within only a decade, really, the entire industry has now switched. And, and this is, these films would not be made this way anymore. And these artists work digitally now as well. So it really is a bit of a, you know, only 20 years old, but time travel. And yeah, the painstaking processes, I can't imagine.
Oh, you'd have to be so patient to be an animator. I tell you what, it's almost like, I mean, it's a different animation altogether, but the claymation thing where you're changing one tiny thing and taking a shot, taking a pot, and that sort of stuff can all be digitized, all the 3D stuff can be done. But I still love the idea of manually going back and doing it in that old-fashioned way. And I'm sure there's still a place for that now and then, but because it takes so long and probably costs so much money, it's so much easier to just do it on digital.
Yeah, well, of course, it's still, you know, a remarkable skill that goes into digital artistry as well. So, you know, for me, it's just about reflecting on the original process and still trying to understand how the hell digital animation works as well, because that's another mind-boggling.
Sure, that's another episode.
Technical.
That's another
day. Next year.
This is about architecture, though, and it sounds like, do you actually have like 3D models at this exhibition?
Or is No. So this is the closest that you'll get is the architectural sketches, because it's amazing how much information these drawings, so the pencil stage sketches, manage to convey about the depth and the forms of buildings and things like this. There's one artist in preparing for Ghost in the Shell goes into the level of not only designing the buildings and the streetscapes, but also modeling the street furniture.
Oh, wow.
And the bits of rubbish and things like that that are going to just decorate the scene.
Yeah.
And you get to see those bits of street furniture at four different stages of being animated as well. It's just...
That's cool.
I don't know.
Oh, no, I think it's fantastic. And there are going to be people out there who are budding architects or students who are really interested in this stuff and can, how that can translate from the amount of work that goes into an anime but into actually creating that in real life. And I'm sure there are people out there who, you know, take pointers from the architecture in movies and films and animation and then actually translate that into real life buildings or whatever. So
It's fascinating because anything is technically possible within an animated world, but what becomes probable is something that's actually not too distant, because that's the thing that creates that really great tension of sci-fi when it's just a bit too close. And the familiarity of these worlds is impressive, and come and see it.
Well, it all kicks off next Friday, 1st of June. The 1st of June. It's down here, of course, at the Japan Foundation in Central Park on Level 4. And the opening reception, on the 1st of June at 6:30. So come on down. It's free. No bookings necessary. And then the exhibition will run from the 1st of June till the 11th of August.
That's right. We're also going to have some events, which we'll be announcing next week.
Okay.
So if you're interested, just take a look at our website.
Jump onto jpf.org.au for all the details. Thanks, Alison. Thanks for chatting, coming in and chatting again. It's always good to see you.
Anytime.